This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Callie Crossley. The health of Mayor Menino remains somewhat of a mystery. Even though we've been getting updates from City Hall and from his doctors, the list of ailments keeps changing. His time away from office is getting longer. Of course, there is a history of elected officials who have had to manage a health crisis while maintaining a public persona. Joining me to talk about the fine ethical line that elected officials and the doctors have to walk is Art Kaplan. Art Kaplan is the head of the Division of Medical Ethics at NYU's Langone Medical Center. Art, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So Mayor Menino's been in the hospital more than a month. He's been diagnosed most recently with type 2 diabetes that came on the tail end of finding out he had a back condition, and then there was an infection that developed near his spine. And we finally heard from doctors sort of giving us the long list of stuff that's happened and saying that he's going to go to rehab. But gee, it's been an awful long time, and I have to say, it feels as though there's much not being said. Is it okay for a public official to keep some things private?
Well, from the point of view of the law and public policy, yes. You absolutely have no obligation to tell anybody about your medical information, medical facts, whether it's your genetic risk factors that you might have for getting Alzheimer's disease or cancer, all the way over to what's going on with your diabetes or whether or not you have a venereal disease. So there is no requirement to disclose. We've never legislated it in terms of looking at what is required. It's pretty clear that nothing is. Ethically, I think you got a little different story. I think if you have a health condition that may impair your ability to conduct your office, think here about, say, severe depression in a politician. We've had a few of those over the years, something that would interfere with your ability to function. Then the public has a right to know what's going on. If I elected you, can you conduct the office? Can you do the business? If not you, then who's doing it? And obviously this gets into the same question when you're running for office, candidates. Do you have, like, think Dick Cheney. What's the status of his heart problems? Is he going to survive if we elect him to office? So ethically, I think you got to disclose more. Legally, no.
Well, you know, it seems to me there's one thing if you are, as President Reagan was, shot. Okay, we saw him being shot, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. we know he went into surgery, and we need to know is he okay? Is he ready to serve, fit to serve? That happens in an acute situation. It happens in the moment. We are all aware of what the scenario is or of what the major scenario seems to be. But in this case, where it started with one thing, it developed into several others. We the public, were not aware of the development mm-hmm. until most recently. Does the longer time period now make for, if it's possible, a more unethical situation?
Yeah, I understand. Callie, you know, it's interesting. Even when Reagan was shot, we didn't really get the lowdown. There were a lot of reports that, you know, he had come out amazingly well and he was strong. And in fact, if you heard later, the people who took care of him in the ER, he almost died. I mean, he was at death's door, and we didn't get that story straight. So if you leave it to the handlers, if you leave it to the PR people, if you leave it to the spinmeisters, you're not necessarily even going to get the honest truth about something like an assassination attempt or if someone falls or has an accident and it's taped or filmed. I would say we have to be a little skeptical even there. Longer periods of time, I think the only reason that's morally relevant, the only one is you start to think, is this a chronic set of health problems that's going to continue to plague the mayor as he tries to run the city of Boston? And, you know, ethically, I think you want to have your press spokesperson come out there and say, this is the deal. He's got this chronic condition. He's got that chronic condition. It's not getting in the way. He's getting great care. He can do his job. We'll give you more information as it evolves. There's a lot of Americans who have chronic conditions. So time, not particularly ethically relevant. It just raises more concern about ability to do the job.
All right. So if functionality is the key then to whether or not it walks that fine ethical line. We know that we didn't really know much about FDR's paralysis, and John F. Kennedy had debilitating back pain, but they both...
Woodrow Wilson had a massive stroke.
Well, there
you... Didn't hear much about that either.
No, no. And I don't know about Woodrow Wilson's ability to function, but with regard to FDR and John F. Kennedy, they were able to function, albeit in, you know, great amount of pain and in some adjustments to what they had to do day to day. That being said, we've not seen Mayor Menino, and this is where conspiracy theory is growing every day. And because he is the kind of mayor who is always out, the first guy to be on the snowplow, the guy to light the tree, he's at every single opening of whatever in this town and has been. So if the handlers say he's functioning, he's still in charge, and yet we see no pictures of him in the hospital gown writing the plan, that seems to me to be somebody's not saying something.
let me add, as a Bostonian native, I my family's all still there, so I know he's a guy who's been out and about. I understand that. This reminds me a little bit of Fidel Castro, right? Everywhere, hands on, then he disappears. He's got bad cancer. Everybody figures it's the end, and boom, here he is. He's back. he's running around again. So I wouldn't necessarily associate the absence of coverage with an inability to do the job. I do think they may be, you know, trying to work him up, or he may feel tired or whatever because of his conditions. Again, I think when you're in a political role like this, you do owe it to the public to get clear, honest information. Maybe not every detail, but, you know, really get the picture laid out there so people do know what's going on. Part of the job of mayor is obviously to comfort people and give them a sense that somebody's in charge and make them feel that there's someone looking out for them. That's part of the job. And if you're not being seen, or you have to be going from appointment to appointment to appointment, then that ought to be explained. Let me add one other thing, Callie. You know, some of the medical stuff gets political in a slightly different way. I remember people wondering if Bill Clinton ever had herpes or syphilis or a venereal disease. Now, that's not job-related, but politically, given events in his political career, there was so much interest in finding out the answer to that that people bribed nurses and medical students to peek at his records and tell them.
Wow. Well, that's one that escaped me, I'm glad to say. here's sort of an elephant in the room question, and that is, there's a set of folks that are right in the middle of this who seems to me have their, maybe, ethics compromised because they are being asked, I'm assuming, to be silent about all of the details, and that would be the doctors. Mm-hmm. Where are the doctors in all of this? Because... this set of doctors didn't come out until recently to give us the whole litany of what Mayor Menino was suffering from. So obviously they knew about it before. And you can't tell anybody that they couldn't have figured out he had diabetes a long time ago. So it looks pretty suspicious.
Yeah, it does. But doctors know they are sworn to advocate for their patients' interests. When they see the mayor, they're not seeing the mayor. They're seeing Tom. And Tom is their patient. They're not going to talk about him and his health condition to anybody, even if he is in public office, any more than they would talk about you or me to a media person who had a question for whatever reason. So they're just not going to do it. When they do it, they get in trouble. That incident I told you about with Clinton resulted in the suspension of six medical students at Columbia University for a year because they had done unauthorized revelations about his medical record. So you know when you are advocating for a patient, you put aside who they are, what they do, what role they're in. The only exception to that is, I think, if you thought the person was so impaired that they couldn't carry out their duties and it was going to pose a threat to the public welfare or the safety of somebody, then you have the usual duty to warn, but it wouldn't be the media. You'd probably be trying to warn the appropriate authorities within government.
So their silence is therefore ethical, because it, you know, from the outside, it may look as though the handlers had something to do in silencing them. You're actually saying they're following their code as they would with anybody, and unless it is a question of life or death, then they're not going to have any comment to make.
That's right. No handler has to tell a physician who's treating the mayor or the selectman or the president, be quiet. They might remind them that they're going to really be hounded by the press, and here's who to send those inquiries to. But physicians and nurses and pharmacists all know they are supposed to keep information, personal information, private. It goes all the way back to the Hippocratic Oath. I absolutely support it. It's the right thing to do. But you don't have to get managed to do it. You do it as professional ethics.
So let me go back to this time thing one more time, and that we've just seen Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. resign. This is after, however, he had been treated at least twice that we know of at the Mayo Clinic for bipolar depression and illness, and he went through a whole campaign where presumably other people could have run. It's clear that he's incapable of holding that position, but he didn't say anything, and nobody else said anything about his condition, and so there you have it. Is there a point at which it becomes, it must be, in order to be ethical, the mayor has to say, if I'm not ready by, I don't know, December 29th, I'm making up a date, or some date, I got to step aside, or someone else must take charge. Must a deadline at this point be in place? Because it's been a long time.
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'm going to answer it by saying I don't think a firm, like, by noon on December 31st, I will say something or not, only because the answers to some of these health things may not even be clear by then. It still may be vague, but I like the idea that as things evolve and the mayor isn't seen and it goes on and on and on, you really do need to have a sit-down. The moral thing, the right thing to do is to say, here we are. We're not going to give you all the personal details, but this is the mayor's doctor. We've allowed him to answer some basic questions and to reassure you that he can function, et cetera. The Jackson thing got complicated for a slightly different reason. I believe, and I don't know this, but I'm speculating, part of the reason they were discreet about what they wanted to say is, you know, he was facing certain charges, and some of his health conditions might be used to exculpate him, you know, so he wasn't of right mind when X happened, and that's why X happened. So politically, it gets thorny. Some of these mental illness things, mental health things, might be used to defend somebody against a corruption charge or malfeasance in office. So those are rattling around in the background, too. Nothing there with Mayor Menino, but, you know, it, just to show you that it can get tricky.
Get complicated. All right.
Get complicated.
Art Kaplan, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure.
We've been talking about the medical ethics surrounding Mayor Menino's health, and I've been speaking with Art Kaplan. He's the head of the Division of Medical Ethics at NYU's Langone Medical Center. And Emily Rooney is with me now in the studio.
Hey, Kelly. Well, we're going to be continuing the conversation and look at the virtual gag order that's been, you know, coming out of City Hall. No one's really saying anything. We don't even really know who is second in command. So we're going to talk about sort of the public relations aspects of this, whether it's been good. I mean, certainly they've been able to contain it, or whether it's been a disaster. So we'll be discussing that.
All right. You're Emily Rooney. I'm Callie Crossley, and this is Boston Public Radio.